extra hour of sleep. I like it when it goes back, because what happens is people show up late, but this one, people show up early, and they're like, oh my, you know, what's going on here? You do realize there was a reason the Scripture tells us to gather as believers. What I want you to really understand is every time we gather, this doesn't happen, I mean, this can happen outside of when we gather. But every time we gather together, again, going back to that whole koinonia thought, every time we gather together is a time where Jesus, the Holy Spirit, wants to individually touch you. Not just, here's what's cool. When I teach on paper, it's like a general word, but I can't tell you the times that people come up to me after service and said, man, you know, you might as well just threw everybody else out. That was straight for me. Well, what happens is the Lord takes this corporate word and He individualizes it and places it in folks. But here's what I want you to hear very clearly. I believe we are in the beginning stages, if you will, of God doing something extremely special in this body of believers called Christian Center of Fort Worth. I believe that it's an individual thing, though it might be corporate. I know what the Lord has showed me this morning. For instance, I know there's a couple of you here that you've had some physical issues that you haven't told anybody about because you just don't want people to know about them. I just want you to understand that He's on top of that, and He gets it, and He understands it. So I just wanted to share that, and as you can see, I've got communion up here. I don't think it's accident that only the bread's up here. We're going to talk about both. Chuck, you can go ahead and bring that up if you want. We forgot to put the juice up here. You know, normally on the first Sunday of the month, we do communion. Those of you who were here last week, you heard us talk about the importance of communion. And you know, Jesus said to do it often, and there's got to be a reason He said to do that. And we have, there's different traditions of people doing these things. You know, there's some churches that it's every Sunday. There's some churches that it's once a month. There's some churches that have you drink out of the same cup, which isn't very healthy during the wintertime, flu season. But you hear what I'm saying. And what I want us to really begin to grasp is, I've shared with you before, I take communion every day in my office. And in the beginning, it was because I had some serious physical issues, which I did have surgery, but after surgery, and again, this is for Steve Enzant, not everybody, I just refused to take any kind of medicines because I felt like the Lord spoke to me. The surgeon, who was a great Christian guy, awesome guy, he did his part, and I felt like the Lord said, okay, He's completed that. I want to complete the healing in you. So that's what began my journey in having communion every day. But as I started having communion every day, I began to realize that there's other areas in my life and in my heart that God was healing through those things. And just so you know, I can tell when I haven't taken communion for a while because I get the carnal side of Steve. Not saying that communion is the magic. That's what I hate about teaching stuff like this, because then people think it's the magic pill. It's not. But it's dynamic. Communion is dynamic because of what it means. Communion is dynamic because the blood says we are totally forgiven no matter how stupid you are, and that we are totally healed. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't a promise of God. This is a right as a believer. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is the truth. And healing can be a process. Healing can be a miraculous thing. But it happens. And so last week you heard us talk about communion is for healing of God's people. And here's what Paul said was the failure of people. Well, just read the scripture here. I used the same scripture last week. We'll show it again here. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. I told you what that word judgment means. It means something that you deserve, if you will. Not discerning the Lord's body. Notice it says not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning the Lord's blood. I want you to get that in your head. And he says, for this reason, one reason, because we don't discern the Lord's body, many of us are weak, many of us are sick, and a lot of us die too soon. Now, we touched on that last week, and this week, I want to go a little bit further in that with the understanding. Here's what has happened over the years, at least in my experience. We kind of lumped communion together, and to be brutally honest with you, it's because communion was kind of in the way of us getting to the important stuff of the guy preaching. You get what I'm saying? So we lumped communion together. So for me, Steve Van Zandt, my early life in church, communion was all about forgiveness, and it was the blood and the bread, and woohoo, we're done, let's move on to something more important. Well, that's what's the irony in all of this is. One of the most important thing you can ever do is to take your focus off of you and focus on Him. Do this in remembrance of Him, not us, right? And so there's power in that. So what happened was we believe both were for forgiveness, but I want you to understand there's two elements, because there's a twofold purpose in communion and in receiving communion. The cup is of His blood is for forgiveness, absolutely. But the bread in His body is for healing. Here's the scriptures. We kind of understand this. If you've been here a while, you're going to understand. You know what I'm talking about in these scriptures. Romans chapter 3, for everybody sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we're righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin, so that people are made right with God when they believe that Christ sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. You get it. That's where forgiveness is. That's what I've been pounding here for at least 15 years now. It's all about Christ and not about me. When we take communion, we remember the cup as His blood, and we remember the fact that He took care of everything on the cross for us, that there's nothing left for us to do but to believe in Him, and incorporated in that belief is that whole thing, sanctification, that we did 100 weeks on, to understand that sanctification comes through the belief system that Christ did everything. Because if you don't believe Christ did everything, you can never become holy, because you think you can be holy in yourself and not inside of Him. Fair? Well, fair, it doesn't matter, it's truth. Let's just speak some truth today. So, here's another scripture I just want to remind you. Colossians, Paul's writing to the Colossian church, he says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption, those of you know what redemption is, it's such a churchy word anymore, but if you'll go back with me into my history, we had S&H green stamps. Do anybody remember? Dave was like, amen, glory. We had S&H green stamps, and I'll never forget, man, when we would go to the grocery store, they had that little spinny do, and I was a child, thank God I was a child, not older, and they had this little spinny do at the end of however much you bought, they'd spin it, and they would give you these green stamps. And when we got home, my mother made us lick those stamps and stick them in that book, right? And when that book was full, she could get her toaster that she wanted, right? Well, they were called S&H green stamps. They were redemption stamps. They were stamps that you put in a book that when you get enough of them, they redeem you enough to where you get the toaster. That's what redemption is. Christ Jesus redeemed us. He licked all the stamps already. He's already purchased us. We're the toaster, if you will. Go to Him when you go home. Say, man, the preacher said, we're a toaster. And you get what I'm saying? We're totally redeemed. We don't have to add any stamps to anything any longer. It's, I've told you before, if you have a car payment, you've had a car payment for 7 years, and you finally pay the last payment off, the next month you don't feel guilty and go, man, I probably should write them another check. You know, you're redeemed. Your car's redeemed. So are you. You got no check to write. That's the blood. That's what Christ shed His blood on the cross, so that we have the forgiveness of sins as far as the east from the west. All our sins are completely, totally gone. But wait a minute, I struggle. Yes, you do. The Word talks us very clearly. It's all about staying in Him. That's why when we take communion, when we get to the blood part, man, Steve's mind's going crazy. Thank you so much that you're good and I'm not. Not that I'm not glad I'm not, but thank you that you did this for me. And it's in court. And when I really start believing that and understanding that, my life lines up in that area of sin, because I'm so enamored with who Christ is in me. It's amazing. That's the blood, man. That's the blood. It's for forgiveness. So, because Christ paid the penalty for our sin with His blood, we're debt-free. I just shared that. Trusting His blood to save us. So when we drink the cup, When you take the cup, you've got to understand you're not only forgiven, but you're now righteous because God declares you righteous, not because of you, because you ain't righteous. He declares you righteous because Christ, of what Christ did on the cross and shed his blood. Do you get it? Therefore, you're righteous and you're declared righteous because what Christ did, not because of you. But when you take communion, you know, it's not about, okay, let's take the bread, let's take the bread, let's pray. No, stop, chill. And take it and go, wow, you really did this for me. God, I'm no near righteous, but you declare me righteous because of what your son did, because of this blood that he shed. He told us to do this to remember. I remember him today. We discern the blood. We've done that pretty well. It's the bread where we mess up. And what a great trick of the enemy, because the enemy would love for none of us to walk in healing and wholeness. It's just true. And by the way, that healing and wholeness, as you'll see here in a second, it incorporates our mind and mental pain. You know, the scripture says, I believe it's in Acts 10, where it says that Jesus went around and he healed everyone oppressed by the devil. So incorporating that physical healing is that mental healing. You get it. It's true, man. It's true. In fact, there's probably been more areas of mental healing in me than there's ever been in physical healing in me, though there has been physical healing. Now we're going to understand the bread. So most of us discern the blood pretty well, but not so good on the Lord's body. And here's one. I'm going to show you a wonderful thing today that is from the Jewish community. Now, remember, the Jewish community, they believe in this our God, if you will, but they don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. They believe he's going to come. The Messiah hasn't got here yet. So, but here's what I love about God. I'm talking about from Genesis to Revelation, the entire book's about Jesus, if people would just pay attention to it. So, and as you know, there's the Talmud and the Torah. The Torah is the Bible, if you will. The Talmud was words that were given. There's also a thing in the Jewish community called the Mishnah. And that was the oral law of the Jews. In other words, in the Bible, it would say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. So then the Mishnah came in and gave ways to do that. All right, so it was the oral law. So incorporating this oral law, they gave instructions on how to prepare the bread for Passover. Okay, so I'm going to help you discern the body today by understanding. Show that first picture that I got up there. Yes, you see that? Here. This is the bread we use, and people probably think it's just because we don't want to get those little bitty crackers. This is what is sitting on that table. That is a Seder dinner. Some point in time, we'll have to do one. This is at Passover. This is for people who don't believe Christ is the Messiah. Again, this is a Jewish community. Now, there are Messianic Jews. That's a whole different thing. They believe in Christ and they're Jewish. This is Seder, and that piece of bread right here, which is in here, it's all broken up for you for communion. That's what is sitting on that plate, is this piece of bread. So here's what I want you to see. I got online and I found a Jewish community, and I'm like, I want to know how to prepare the matzah bread, is what it's called. Matzo in English, matzah, and if you're going to do the Jewish thing, it doesn't really matter. People will argue over that instead of get the understanding of it. You get what I'm saying? Well, you're not spelling it right. Shut up. Okay. Let's go to this. Watch this. This is greatness. This is a quote. No. There should be a quote on there. Is there not? Yeah. Yes. Perfect. Now watch this. This is a quote. Immediately after the flour, this is to make Passover bread. Immediately after the flour is first mixed with water, the relatively dry batter is kneaded using a special design smasher. Now, hold up. I'm the one who capitalized, and I'm the one that put brackets around what it means. Other than that, it's a direct quote. And so it's designed a smasher, which means to strike with heavy blow in a crush, in which the batter is placed on a flat surface, and a hinged bar is used to pummel, repeatedly hit or punch, the dough. And the dough is then flattened by using rollers made only of solid pieces of wood. Are we getting this? He who has an ear to hear? Or metal without crevices to prevent the possibility of pieces of dough getting wedged and becoming chamez, which means leavened. next. This is still the same quote. Perforation, the piercing of the dough, in rows, stripes, after being rolled into shape and before the baking enables air bubbles to escape and prevents the dough from rising and swelling during baking. So the holes are made by rolling a small wheel, small sharp teeth attached to it, known as a redler. Show that picture, because here's a picture of a redler. I just wanted you to see this. There you go. And it's rolled along in a row. All right, you can go back to scripture, or not scripture, the quote. So the sharp teeth, so it's rolled back and forth across the dough, and it's to be cooked at high temperature to develop dark spots. Now, this is one is done by a machine, because they sell this stuff all the time. But I just want, I don't know if you can see it very well, but you can see the edges are burnt. You can see the bruise marks, if you will. You can see the stripes. If you get a good one that's cooked a little bit longer, you can really be able to see the stripes. That is what matzah is. That is what unleavened bread is. And if that is not a representation, then here these guys, these Jerusalem, they gave instructions to do this, and they had no clue. They still don't have a clue. Why do you think Jesus said, I am the bread of life? Why do you think that Jesus told the woman that wanted her healing for her daughter if she was full of a demon? Why did he tell her, no, this the children's bread isn't for you? Why didn't he say blood? Man. Oh, I'm looking for my notes, and they're in my hand. Looking for my glasses. So, according to these laws, the bread was to be unleavened, baked, pierced with holes, and striped. And again, they had no clue why. No leaven was to be used because in the Bible, leaven represents sin. And when you go on the Passover, which we'll talk about here in a second, leaven represents sin. There's to be no leaven in it. There was no leaven in Christ. He was sinless. We're the ones that are leavened up. You hear what I'm saying? Isn't that amazing to you? It should be amazing to you, because he's the perfect one. And so, again, let me just read it straight up like I wrote it. No leaven was used because leaven in the Bible represents sin, and Jesus is the perfect, sinless Son of God. The perfect, sinless Son of God. The perfect, sinless Son of God died on a cross for the totally sinful guy, so that the totally sinful guy could be viewed as the perfect, sinless one. Wow. See, that's crazy love. You know what I've been doing this week? I've been reading this prayer over the church congregation. It's a prayer. Well, it's out of the Bible. Paul wrote it, and he talks about that we would learn and know. I shared it a couple of weeks ago. But what I have done is I've taken out, I pray you, and I've put people's names in it. So I pray, you know, Father, I pray that Gay Van Zandt comes to know you in a strong way, and that Gay Van Zandt gets to understand your love and your mercy. And you know what I'm saying? But hey, let me tell you what else I started doing, and it kind of rattled me a little bit. I pray that Osama bin Laden, pick somebody who's dead, just so you know. You hear what I'm saying? So find your enemy in your heart and start. And well, actually, I'll make that available for you. It's a simple prayer that Paul wrote, but it was killing me, because I got to where I started meaning it. Do you know when you pray for people you can't stand and you really mean it, something changes? Not in them. They're still, but in you. And when that change comes in you, then you're a light that cannot be put out. Hear me. So here's what this said. So his body was burnt because the full fury of God's wrath against our sins fell on him that were meant to fall on us. That's what this bread represents. He was smashed. I just took out of this quote. He was smashed, pummeled, perforated, side pierced, and merciless stripes placed on his back so that our bodies could be whole, including our minds. It's the truth. Oh, well, here, let me give you a prophetic word some 400 or 800, 700 years earlier. We all know this scripture. Pay attention. He was despised. Isaiah's prophesying about Christ. Isaiah, well, he's met him now because he's up there. He didn't have a clue. He just prophesied because God gave him the word. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face or hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him as stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. What is that prophetic word saying? That's saying everybody in the church of that day said Jesus deserved everything that he was getting hammered with. There was no way around it. He was worse than Barabbas. He deserved it. And the whole time it was the plan of God because God loves us so much. Crazy. Verse 5. But he was pierced through for our sin. What came out but water and blood? He was pierced through for our sin. This is 750 years, I think, to be exact. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sin. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, chabarah, however you say it, I don't know. It looks like a chubby monkey. Here's what that word is. By his bruises, his stripes, some will be translated as stripes. By his bruises, his stripes, his wounds, and his blows, we are healed, not will be healed, not if you got enough faith to be healed. We are healed. Do you understand it? We are healed. My mind is healed. My mind is healed from hatred. It is. I can't hate no more. I want to hate. I got to where I was just hating the people who hate, but that's hate. You get it. Really, truly, think that through in your heart. Let that one come to you, because the Lord just showed me that. You hate people who hate. Oh, great. Oh, well, no. I hate the hate. You know, we try to use the scripture, love the sinner but hate the sin. Well, we've learned to hate the sinner and tolerate the sin. Wow. So, by his scourgings, we're healed. So, it's very clear that the body and the blood have two different applications in this thing we express as communion. This, by the way, is consistent throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Here's your New Testament scripture. This is out of Matthew. When evening came, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed. Now, notice how this is part of the healing. They were demon-possessed. How many of you go, man, I know somebody's got a demon? Yeah. Yeah, that's the stuff God will heal. They're demon-possessed, and he cast the spirit out with a word. I'm going to tell you what I think that word is. Go. It's good enough. Everybody else thought it'd be something holy. Sorry. And he healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, that he himself took our infirmities. This is now the Greek word instead of the Hebrew word. Look what this word means. Asthenia, and yes, that's where you would get the word asthma from, and also anesthetic from. He himself took on their feeble health and their sickness of soul. And he carried away nosos, which literally does mean diseases. So he himself took our feeble health and our sickness of the soul, and he carried away our diseases. How did he do that? Because of the cross. Because of the stripes that were ripped out of his back. And I say ripped out, there were chunks of flesh that would come out of his back. It's a miracle that he could even get to the cross to be crucified. He was ripped to shreds, y'all. He was ripped to shreds. And I'm trying to paint a picture so you get it. Because every whip, cancer, you get it. Just, why? Because he loves us. He wants us whole and healthy. Yeah, finances will come into it, but like I told you last week, what good are finances if you're sick and in bed? I'm telling you, the greatest luck would ever, I would win the lottery and then die the next day. You know, that's why maybe I don't get to win the lottery. Of course, you got to play it too. So, somebody answer your phone. You should let me talk. I did that one time. So, I'm going to let that finish. Huh. That really did sound angelic, by the way. Yeah, I'm just telling you, that's kind of cool, actually. So, back to being on point here. From Genesis to Revelation, I've told you that. So, Jesus bore not just our sins, but he bore our sickness and our mental pain. And just, I'm going to really bring it down and then I'll be done with you. So, I want to take you to the very first Passover and show you what I'm talking about. It's not just about forgiveness, it's about forgiveness and healing and health. So, the first Passover, here's what happened. They killed the lamb, right? That they were told, they were instructed. And here's what's so funny. People get shook over this and it drives me crazy. He said to take a goat, a lamb or a goat. Some people couldn't afford a lamb. Some people could only afford a goat. And then you have to find a perfect one and kill it. Well, people go, why a goat? Well, listen, I don't want to get in a real long theology thing. You've heard the term scapegoat, right? Okay, well, what happened was when they would sin and stuff, they would say all the sins are going on this goat, and they would send it out of the camp, and that way that was an illustration of that all their sins were gone. You get it? So anyway, they would kill the lamb, and then the Bible says to put the blood on the doorpost, and I've shared this a million times, and the blood was to be put at the top and on the sides. You get that? That is such a cross to me. At the top and on the sides. I'm trying to show you Jesus in this Passover thing, because it's important you understand this bread, this what we're talking about. So because they did that, this caused God to pass over their families, because he said it this way. He said, and when I see the blood that's on those posts, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you and destroy you. I will pass over you. Do you get where the word comes from? I will pass over you. Pass over you. Yes. That's just learn some bing, bing. Isn't that cool? How that works. So the blood covered their sin, because sin, the Bible says, is unto death. The blood covered this sin. And it met every righteous requirement of God at that time. If you want to live, you've got to have the blood on your door. You get that? And so then they ate the body of the sacrificial lamb and the unleavened bread. Here's a scripture, just so you ain't lying. By the way, you should read this whole chapter. It's crazy awesome. They shall eat the flesh that same night that they killed the lamb or the goat, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. So here's what I want you to get and understand. As you read through all of that chapter 12, and if you even back up, I just love this. You know when Moses went to Pharaoh, he told Pharaoh what was fixing to happen. I'm fixing to kill the firstborn. God's going to kill every one of the firstborn in Egypt. And Moses was so kind of cocky. Because Moses said, he said, there's going to be so much wailing, no one will have ever heard that much wailing in a town, and no one will ever hear more wailing since. And then he said, but the people in Israel will be in peace, and that you won't even hear a dog bark. Pharaoh still said no. So what happens? You understand, they put the blood on the doorpost, the Lord passes over. The Bible, in that scripture, it says, every firstborn son was killed. Every firstborn animal was killed. And it says not one of them, not one house did not have death in it. And it said that there were wailing and stuff. It's just a crazy, incredible scene. But what the Lord instructed was in that chapter 12 of this Passover, he said, you're going to do this, and here's how you're going to do it. And he gave him the instructions that you would have the unleavened bread, that you would, in honoring this, you would be in your sandals. Because what happened, as you read the story of Israel, they had unleavened bread to take with them, because the Bible says they didn't have time to cook anything else, because after that happened at midnight, Pharaoh goes and wakes up Moses and says, get out of here, take what you want. I love God. And God had instructed them and said, look, you go to the Egyptians before you leave and tell them you want their silver and gold, and I think they'll give it to you. And so sure enough, man, they're fixing to leave. This is all in the Bible. They're fixing to leave. So they went to their Egyptian friends, and they're like, yeah, here, take it. They didn't want to die. So the Bible says, it clearly says, and so the Israelites stole all the wealth of the Egyptians and steal it. God gave it to them. because he told him to ask for it. If you don't ask, you don't get. Huh? So, the Bible, and again, in that same chapter, they wrapped up their unleavened bread, which, by the way, you know the difference between leavened and unleavened bread, right? A tortilla is unleavened, okay? And a wonderful loaf of bread is a loaf of bread. Can you tell the difference when you eat some? Like when you eat something with a real piece of bread in it, that good bread, I'm going to make y'all hungry, that really good bread, and you have it fills you up. But if you eat a cracker, that just ain't going to cut it, is it? Or even a tortilla. You're going to have three burritos to one sandwich to get that filling in your stomach. Here's what I want you to see. In the preparation, the blood was already placed on the post. God instructed unleavened bread, and then they had to get out of there so fast, they took their unleavened bread with them. But I told you last week, what does it say? 2.5 million Israelites, were not a one was feeble or weak or sick, because they were walking on the strength of an unleavened bread that was so powerful, it didn't even fill them up. That's the bread. That's the bread of life. That's who Jesus is. So how much more eating of the body of the true Lamb of God is incorporated in us? The days are over for this church that we're just going to flippantly take communion and have people stand and hand it out to you and get it as quickly done as you can so that we can get through to them. No. I said it in the beginning and I'll say it again. The purpose of the church, and again, you go back to the original church, was they gathered for the teaching of the apostles, they gathered for communion, and then the word says, and the apostles performed miracles. That's the purpose of a church, is to gather together as a body of believers, as we do, and it's to have this koinonia, this fellowship with the Father. I said the first time I taught this, and I'm not talking about koinonia. There's tons of koinonia in the church. I'm talking about koinonia, where the whole focus is on Christ. And incorporated in that is the Holy Spirit in Christ wanting to work in your life in areas where you didn't even think He cared. You hear what I'm saying? You know, Matt, I feel like the Lord wants me to just tell you that battle in your mind of the financial end, He's just saying, I got you, kid. I love you. Seriously, man, that's really cool, because what happens is we get caught up in that and paying and all that. Man, be released. And they're saying, now see, here's what I want you to see. See, that couldn't have happened if Matt hadn't been here. And I'm not, look, y'all know me well enough to know I'm not trying to bring an excuse for gathering together, but holy smoke, in this day and time, we need each other, because we believe in Jesus and we believe in everything that Jesus does, and He wants to individually use all of us to minister life to all of us. Do you hear what I'm saying? This isn't the Steve Van Zandt show that gets a prophetic word and gives it to somebody. No, God wants to move among His people. He wants us to be open and fair with it. And Carl Daggummit, I'm telling you, that battle is over. The battle of the mind is over. You have battled it and battled it and battled it. You finally got a little understanding of the fact that all the past is completely over and done. But now the Lord is saying, and you've been taking communion, I'm assuming every day, because I gave you a whole box. But listen to me. If it happens instant, it happens instant. But if it doesn't, it's okay. Steve Troyer told me a great story today. He was watching Joseph Prince talking about his son. His son had a real bad something on his shoulder. And they would go in the hospital every day. And they said every day they would have communion. And every day he'd get a little bit better, a little bit better. The dude was only in the hospital like 4 days, man. I'm just telling you, there is power not in the bread and the blood itself, but in the understanding of what it represents. When you take that bread, man, you just say, God, on paper, I got nothing. But You're the bread of life. In that life, you can sense it now. Let me just pray. Father, just now, Lord, encourage his heart. I pray over his phronio, God, over his mind. I just pray, Lord, that you release him from all the woulda, shoulda, couldas, and just release him into the understanding that you're the greatest thing ever, and that his healing is there. It's just a matter of walking in it, Lord. And I thank you for that, and I'm believing in that, and I'm believing Carl's going to stand up and show that for someday. And we give all the glory to you, Father, because we believe it's truth. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, that's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I don't do too many things too good, but one thing I do, I press on to the goal of God in Christ Jesus. Dude, you preaching now. Oh, that's so good. Because God's good. So I close King David, which, by the way, you know he was a mess. Amazing, all the messiness that he was. I mean, he did the adultery thing, then he killed the husband to try to cover the adultery thing. Then he got in trouble and he was fixing to get killed, so he acted like he was crazy so they'd leave him alone. Man was nuts. Yet the Bible says that he was after God's heart, because David had an understanding. Here it is, David, before Jesus ever finished and completed this thing called the new covenant that we now walk in. Here's what David wrote. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget any of his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities. That's the blood. I put the blood in there. He heals all your diseases. That's the body. Who redeems you from the life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, and who satisfies your years with good things. And if all you've got is a bag full of unleavened bread and you're walking out of Egypt into the promised land, he will renew your strength like an eagle. You don't get any gooder than that, man. So, listen, I'm done. When Jesus took our punishment on the cross, it didn't just bring us forgiveness, it brought us healing. Healing, like forgiveness, is not a promise. I said this earlier. It's the redemption right of every believer. Forgiveness and healing are offered as we receive communion. And listen to me. I can't tell you the times I've heard it. Well, we got to do communion. No, you don't do it. You receive it. You receive his blood into you. You receive his bread into you. It's not an ordinance, ladies and gentlemen. It is life. And Jesus, again, said, do it often. And that means there's a reason for it. And I believe this is it. The blood represents how perfect he is and how imperfect I am. Yet he took care of that on the cross for me. The bread says, son, I took all the whips and stuff for you to be whole in your mind, in your body, in your soul. So that's what we'll do today. Let's go ahead and I guess we'll just do this like we did last week and next week and the week after and the week after and the week after and the week after. It's not even necessary. Y'all can stand up so you can stretch. By the way, just so you know, tomorrow night we're gathering here for prayer at the conclusion of our prayer time, which is going to be geared towards worshiping the Father. We will have communion as well. I got it. Cowboy game comes on at 7:30. That's more important to you. Stay home. As for me and my house, we will DVR. Because we are Cowboy fans. Father, we're going to take this communion here in a second. I just pray that you will give us a realization of the power of who you are through it. And I thank you for that. Yeah, just come down, grab some, move off to the side so other people can grab some. At some point in time, we might need to start passing it out in the beginning or whatever. You know, when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," that's where we need to stop and say, "Remember what?"
John 6, around verse 50, you can go home and read it. Actually, read the whole thing. It's really good. But Jesus is talking, and he starts going into, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. There's no eternal life. But if you drink my blood and eat my flesh, he's talking total consumption. And it goes back to Exodus 12. Where it says, eat the flesh of the lamb or the goat. See, there's no halfway with Jesus. It's 100%. Total consumption. He needs to be your everything. Your every waking, every sleeping, breathing, everything. No half measures. No half stepping. Father God, we come to you today. Lord, we thank you for your word. That is life-giving, life-changing, life-directing. God, we thank you for your life. We thank you for the life that we have in you because of what you've done for us, Lord, because of your love. And we thank you for that. God, as we stand here and we hold this cracker, which represents your body, and this juice, which represents your blood, God, we just pray that it infiltrate and take over every part of our lives and bring complete and total and utter healing, leaving no doubt, God, that you are who you say you are. You are Lord of all. God, we pray for complete healing as we take this. Physical healing, mental healing, any and other, all other healings I may not know about or forget about. But God, we just pray for it all. We pray for it all. Complete, total healing. Go ahead and take it, guys. However you want to. The cracker, the juice. Enjoy. God, you are wonderful. You are beautiful. You are amazing. You are so gracious, so merciful, so beautiful. God, you are so worthy. So worthy, just as the song says, you could never be praised enough, God. Let our lives just be praise to you, a living sacrifice of worship to you, God. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. A couple of quick announcements before we go our way. Ladies.